Milan Lucic front and center, Jason Demers as well, visiting Edmonton. And joining Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, Mark Spector.
Everybody wants to be in Edmonton now.
Well, they do, because Spector's there. How you doing, Spec?
I beat the rush. I got here 50 years ago.
He's been a restricted free agent ever since. Now,
but you've seen cups too.
To sign me.
There's no. By the way, if you don't follow Mark Spector on Twitter, you have to, because he's got the snidest little shots of anybody in the business.
Well, that's a mouthful coming from you.
Hey, Spec, Milan Lucic, has he signed with agreed to terms with Edmonton or not?
Well, I would have to say no. If he certainly hasn't signed anything, or at least he's not supposed to have. Listen, you know, any of you guys in that room or any of our listeners, if you were making a decision on where you're going to live and work and play for the next 5 or 6 years, everyone's going to pay him a bunch of money. It's not a money decision. You get the same money in 5 different towns, I'll bet. You're going to wait till the deadline. I think you're going to do your diligence. You're going to talk to people. He may visit another town or two, and you know, in due time. I wouldn't think he's signed yet, but he'll be. I would think that Lucic would be one of the very first guys out of the gate at noon Eastern on July 1st. No,
Spec, it's interesting. You know, I've got him obviously high in my list. I mean, you've got Lucic, Okposo, Ladd, Erickson in that, you know, whatever order there. They're all. And Lucic brings a different element. He's won. He's tough. He's, you know, the wheels are, you're always a little nervous about the wheels. But I talked to a scout last year and said, yeah, his wheels look, he looks a little slower, but I don't see him miss many foot races. I don't see him lose many foot races. I see him still getting there really good. But, Spec, scary for the Oilers, where they desperately are in need of a couple defensemen, and it is as bad a year for defensemen as you could ever imagine with Goligoski coming off that list. Demers, to me, is the prize. Is that hard to believe that he's the prize?
Well, so the trick becomes, don't just because he's the best defenseman in a bad crop, you can't pay him. You know, he's a second-pairing defenseman all day long.
Right.
Right? Never going to be a number two. He's never going to be there. So don't pay him like a number two. Like, this is where, and you were a GM, Doug, and this is where the GMs have frankly failed horribly, is restraining themselves and not paying the best guy in the crop like he's the best guy in the league. There's a difference. You can't give Demers first pairing money. If you do, I think it's foolish.
I said it last year on our July 1st show last year. I didn't like the Sequeira deal. I didn't like it. I thought it was crazy.
Didn't like it either.
I didn't like it. I thought it was a bad deal. And it's a similar scenario, Mark, in that I understand where Peter's coming from, and I understand why you do it. I did it. I did it with Luke Richardson. I signed he and Scott Lachance 1 year because I was desperate for defensemen. Luke ended up being a good signing. Scott, not so much. But it's the same ball of wax again, Scott.
Well, general managers have said historically over the years, and you know, sadly, a lot of them never learned from it, but that on July 1st, the one position that they typically overpay for average players is defense because of that panic threshold.
And it's, Spec, it's so thin this year on that back end, you know, for defense, availability of defense.
So, Spec, if a Lucic comes in, for instance, if they are able to make that deal happen, do they have to finally move somebody out up front?
Oh, no question. You know, they remember that they didn't. The other asset that they got that they weren't counting on getting was at the draft with Jesse Puljujärvi.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, he's ready to play in the NHL. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's face it, if he's going to play in the NHL, he's probably going to be a top six forward here, you know, first or second line right wing, assuming he can play. So all of a sudden, let's say you sign Lucic, you're bringing in two top six guys. So you got to move somebody out. There's no question. Cap-wise, there's just not room in your top six for all these guys. So, you know, I'm going to say this, you guys, because we've all agreed here that the free agent crop is poor, maybe you'll have better luck in the trade market. Maybe if I'm Edmonton, I certainly can trade a first-round pick next year because I think I've had enough high picks lately. And if I'm going to package a first-round pick and I'm going to package them with one of those Hall, Eberle, Nugent, Hopkins type of guys, if I can find a defenseman in the free agent market and I can make that trade, I'm not saying I'm bringing in Pronger and Niedermeyer here, But coming off a Stanley Cup in which Pittsburgh's defense wasn't exactly a bunch of world beaters, I think if I'm the Oilers, I can add two guys that can play. My forward ranks are beefed up, and I probably, if I'm Shirelli, I look in the mirror and go, you know, I had probably a pretty decent summer here. Is that fair?
Yeah. Mark Spector joining Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, Hockey Central. I want to ask you about these different guys. What happens, the fact that guys come out, is there any kind of case study, the fact they actually come and physically visit with a team, how much it does or doesn't enhance your chances? Because they only have a few spots they can really go to. So when Lucic and Demers are in town, how much impact do you think that is in deciding if they sign there or not?
Well, it's a good point. And I think that, you know, when you're, it depends who you are and what you're selling. You know, for instance, the Oilers have a brand new rink that I haven't even been inside of yet that they toured yesterday. That means a little something. Not everything, because there's lots of nice rinks. But, you know, if I can bring these guys in and show them, which by all reports is state-of-the-art, maybe the nicest rink in the league till they build the next one, that can't hurt. I think that, and we've all heard the impassioned pleas out of Edmonton about how they're going to get better for a long time now, right?
12 years.
This is not a new story. But I think that if you can bring them in here and you sit them down with Pete Chiarelli and you kind of look at the whiteboard and you look at the players they've got, you look at McDavid, you look at what they look like up the left side, they're a much bigger team now. I think physically being in Edmonton, there's a lot of things that get dispelled about Edmonton when you walk in here on a nice day. I'm looking out the window. It's a 27-degree day. The sky's blue. The trees are green. It's absolutely beautiful here. And we're not going to talk about what the weather's like in January, right? I'm going to take him to a patio and pour him a cold beer and say, you know, it's not a bad town. So I think when you're Edmonton, it's more important to have a site visit than when you're, say, Montreal or Toronto. I think it means more to the Oilers to try to dispel some of the myths and the negative myths about this town.
Do they ask why everybody's windshields cracked when they drive from house place to place? Listen,
I was going
to
say, and when he looks at the whiteboard, he asks, "Where's Quick? Where's Doughty?
Spec? How does?" Listen, let's not kid ourselves. The Minnesota Wild, with Koivu at number two centerman, a good number two centerman, but that's, in my opinion, that's what he is today. Coyle has got to move from the wing to center because they're missing somebody. How do they make Nugent Hopkins to Minnesota work? Everybody talks Brodin's struggle. We all thought Brodin 2 years ago was going to be a superstar. Dropped off this year. Dumba. I mean, how do they make this work that both teams get what they need here?
Well, it's an excellent question. At the draft, by all accounts, they had a deal or a pending conversation, Dumba for Ryan Nugent Hopkins. And Pete Chiarelli said, that's not enough for me. I need something else. You got to sweeten this deal. And Chuck Fletcher was unwilling to do so. So, you know, and looking at the two players, I think that's fair. If I was Chiarelli, I'd have probably asked for a little more, too. So, there has to be a way. Detroit is in desperate need of centermen. Yeah. Minnesota absolutely needs a centerman. They could make great use of a 23-year-old kid like Ryan Nugent Hopkins up the middle. Are you kidding? And they have a couple defensemen. Anaheim's got way too many guys. Their blue line, you know, they got eight defensemen there for a six-man roster. So there's got to be. I know we just went through the trade, gentlemen, and we all expected blockbusters that never materialized, but there's direct needs out there that have to get filled. I think Pete Chiarelli is a grinder, and I think this is the process we're watching. I think we're watching him grind for a deal that he can consider fair.
Well, and it may be a case, sorry, Gordon, that we talked about it earlier, that it's a deal, depending on which forward they try to move, that is dependent on the free agent dominoes falling, who signs where.
Absolutely.
But the intriguing thing is there's a couple of teams, and we just mentioned them, that may not make the playoffs if they don't get the right centerman. That's why, to me, Detroit, they've got to make something happen here.
I want to ask Beck as well on sportsnet.ca. We chatted earlier about Seth Jones being a potential target for an offer sheet. He, of course, signs a 6-year deal to stay with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I know you just have out about the interesting Jacob Trouba saga, because defensemen are coveted, and all of a sudden a thought of mine that the Boston Bruins, could that be a reality, go after him?
Well, it was reported yesterday by Joe Haggerty at CNN in Boston that, or CSN, excuse me, that the Bruins were considering an offer sheet. But, you know, there's a, I'm sort of fleshing that out in a piece today for Sportsnet.ca, and frankly, it's a fascinating deal. The Bruins don't have second and third draft picks.
They can't do it.
So the only way, Doug, they can do it is to come up with the highest possible offer that involves a compensation of four first-round picks, which they do have.
And who in their right mind would pay four firsts for Jacob Trouba? Like, somebody would have to be out of their marbles. Or
well, if you're finishing in...
Four first-round picks off your
it depends if they're 25 to 30 versus like they benefited by Brian Burke.
I don't care if they're four first-round picks. You got to be out of your mind to do that for Jacob Trouba. Out of your mind to do that
I
for
agree.
Him.
So I guess the question also, because it's two things for me. If you can promise me that Jacob Trouba is going to walk into that elite group of sort of maybe 15 genuine number one defensemen in the game of hockey today, I'm going to consider it because those guys are impossible to get. But the other thing to me is, if let's say someone came along and offered you four first-round picks, and you're Winnipeg with the expansion draft coming up in a year and a scouting staff that knows exactly what they're doing, and I might just take those four first-round picks for Jacob Trouba. Would you?
I guess so.
But the salary has to be $9.3 million.
I know.
It's actually $7 million. It's an AAV trick with the... How they calculate AAV for offer sheets.
Okay, but Joe Haggerty's a credible guy, so that's what's giving the story legs, you know. And there was talk, Doug. There were people going to go after Dougie Hamilton last year as an RFA, which was one reason about the trade. So, but if the Boston Bruins staff evaluate him that way, Doug, that's what you pay your guys for.
Okay, so you've got Hamilton reputation a year ago before he went to
Calgary.
And you got Trouba's reputation today. Who had the bigger, better reputation a year ago? Would it not be very comparable?
Both guys had poor years last year.
What?
Right. Both guys had lousy seasons last year.
That's what I mean.
Both Hamilton and Trouba's stock took a dip last season.
I can't believe somebody would pay four first. With Boston where they are, what they're trying to accomplish there, I don't buy it. I'm sorry. And I know Joe is a good hockey writer. I get all that. I'm not buying it. Sorry. If they had the picks to do it, then I would say maybe. But it doesn't. Winnipeg's going to match.
So all in all, obviously, a quick last one about the draft you mentioned. I would think they're happy who went number four overall. I think Calgary's been happy for a few years now who's landed in their lap as far as the draft went. So a good day for both Alberta teams.
Hey, boys, when all the Canadian teams miss the playoffs, the only good thing is everybody leaves the draft happy.
Yeah, seven of the first 11.
All the Canadian teams got a pretty good player, but I think they paid dearly for him. Is that not the case here?
Yeah. What are you hearing on the Stamkos front from your end?
Isn't it intriguing the way... I know Stamkos' name is lined up a little in Vancouver, but I'm not paying a lot of attention there. It's intriguing to me the way Lucic has become a Western phenomenon and Stamkos is an Eastern phenomenon, and it seems like never the twain shall meet. I know that Detroit's been mentioned in the Lucic affair here, but it doesn't, you know, they're way down the list. So, you know, I'm hearing what you're hearing. I'm hearing that little corridor down there, Buffalo, Toronto, Detroit with Montreal on the outside, and I guess I can't see him going back to Tampa at this point. I think it would have to be done already. So
Doug's thrown Arizona in the mix.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I guess that would be the one Western team. So it is funny, though. It seems like one guy's out east and one guy's out west, and I'd be surprised if that changed on when we open up the doors here on noon Eastern July 1st.
Well, and of course, Mark Spector, a universal phenomenon, so that's good. You transcend those guys, and of course, read his article, sportsnet.ca, and he'll be talking about the Jacob Trouba situation a little bit more. Hey, thanks, as always. Appreciate it, Spec.
All right, thanks for having me.
Hey, I love those cutting rip jobs on Twitter. Keep it up.